into crop art now?
That was gonna be my first question. Is what are you into these days? What does that mean?
Have you ever been to the state fair and you've been in one of the horticulture buildings? They have like the seed art, they call it, or crop art.
Seed art is crop art. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Officially, it's crop art, which encompasses scarecrows and seed art. And
on those little make them like the little dolls made out of corn stalks
corn
and
husk,
silk.
Yeah. Well, I ran into Brian Barber at the Fall Fest up at Chester, and we both like have always had an interest in it and liked it. I'm like, every year I think I should maybe do that anyway. So we started a little seed art group, and we meet Sundays at Hoops. And I'm finishing my first one. Second one. First one was a practice one. So, hopefully, I'll be in the state fair. They take them all
with that kind of variety of options for that. What is it specifically that you're doing? Are you making corn dolls or?
No, I'm doing a seed art piece. Do you remember the? Sorry, I just woke up.
I love it. You just woke up? That's awesome. It is 4 in the morning.
Andre the Giant has a posse stickers. Do you remember those? Way back in the maybe 80s or 90s.
I can't say I do.
Yeah, you're all younger. You'd probably recognize it if you saw it.
I do know Andre the Giant, though.
Shepherd Fairey kind of made this little sticker that became famous. Then it turned into the Obey thing. So I'm riffing on that, using the gopher from the state fair as like the Fairchild. The gopher has a posse.
I already want to see a picture of the seed art.
It's kind
of,
yeah, it's almost a shame this is audio only.
You can put it in the show notes.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, Jason, why don't you tell us what we're doing here today?
We invite our friend Scott Lunt, a.k.a. Starfire, for multiple reasons to come down to the podcast. Obviously, homegrown season, but also one-week live season. I'm wearing the very first one-week live shirt.
Oh, that is
where Father Hennepin played.
Looks good, yeah.
And Father Hennepin is spelled incorrectly. So,
did we spell
on par with my normal postering, going back since the beginning of time, I've always had a hard time spelling things correctly, and this is... We only made 100 of these imprints incorrectly, but yeah.
So now, do we remember it the same? That we had a show at the fair, Superior Fairgrounds, and we got bumped because there was a thunderstorm coming in.
So that's...
And we called you, and you were just, was it your first day, or you were opening the next day?
That's even going farther back in time.
Yeah, that's what I
think. So we opened on July 26th of 1999, and... You were supposed to be opening for someone.
Tracy Lawrence at the Superior Fair.
Yep, and it was a Thursday night. And I know the Black Labels were booked for Friday, and I didn't have a Thursday show. And yep, you called up, and you're like,
"Can we play?
Can we play?
We're loaded.
We canceled our show because of rain or something
Yeah, they bumped us. It sucked.
So you were Father Hennepin was the first band to ever play at the, and you were on the very first 1 week live.
Yeah, and it was. We did a really bad show.
I don't think so, but my memories haven't gotten better, but they seem like they should have been much worse back then. So,
how were those first couple of shows then, either day one or the first 1 week live?
I remember the first show, the very first show player, being quite enjoyable.
I loved it. I mean, my sound system was very rough.
That's kind of what I was wondering. You know, how was the setup?
An old carbon board and a couple of PV speakers and the help of Eric Swanson to help me understand feedback a little bit. Kind of like musical round throwaway items and a couple
mics.
You've
gone through so much equipment over the years. That's crazy.
Well, that's how it gets better, though. Every time something breaks, it's like, well, now's the time to upgrade, I guess. So
Never have to buy it again.
That's not true.
No, never with any technology.
Although the new board now is still from mid-90s, so even the new stuff.
Well, it's kind of funny. So I have a radio show at the North, formerly KUMD, and they just replaced their board. They finally switched to all digital, but the board before that was just an analog with sliders.
Yep.
That thing was like 60 years old and still working. I mean, it was getting a little creaky.
Yeah.
But the new digital board is already only a few years old, and most of the buttons
you have to hit a couple times.
It's like, whoa, they don't make it.
I still have that old carbon board. I still have my old Soundcraft, and they all still work better than so many modern things because everything's so breakable, new stuff. Mm. Every button, it's like when you turn a thing, it's like there's nothing there. It's just everything's light.
I think the best things about buttons and switches and levers and whatnot is the physical feedback of it. That's why else would you have it?
I still like big buttons, not just because of my eyesight, but I just like, I've done it so long, I can mix on an iPad, but I it's not fun. It's like, it works, but I don't like mixing on computers. It's just light and handy.
I do kind of enjoy watching the sound person be able to walk around and mix from different spots, but yeah, I suppose
that's nice. It's nice for monitors too. You can go up and check the monitors and turn things up, and yeah, there's definitely advantages, and yeah.
So you've been DJing and using these boards how long now?
4 years.
Well, I've always, I guess, sort of at heart been a DJ, but I used to, in my old duplex that I owned, had this little weird room tiny room over the stairs that they added, but it was a perfect like DJ booth size. So I had all my CDs up there and I would make mixtapes and then give them to people, which is actually how I got the Starfire nickname, because I gave one to a friend and he lived in the cities, but he'd been visiting, and it was the weekend I got my Guild Starfire guitar.
Oh.
Anyway, I gave him the tape, and then he sent me a thank you note addressed to DJ Starfire. And I thought, that's kind of a good good nickname. So
it came from a guild.
Yes, the old Guild Starfire, which has since been stolen, but someday I feel like we'll be reunited. I don't know.
Was it the same place I have the name, Random Radio started?
Yeah, actually in that room. I think we were in that room for a while. Maybe not, because it was kind of hard to access the antenna, but that was mostly in my basement, not unlike this basement. Not built out and pretty like this, but
this just got that way thanks to Corey Kaufman and Dan Dresser, because this
it looks great.
It smelled much worse and sounded much worse and looked much worse. And
it was mostly in my basement, and was a crazy year and a half or so.
Was it how long? And so I do happen to know how that ended just slightly, but how did that in particular start then too? Because for those who don't know, it was a pirate radio station.
Yeah, I mean, it was pirate radio kind of had a thing in the late 90s there, and it was kind of in the news a lot.
Pump up the volume.
Yeah, that, and then there was a guy in Minneapolis who had a like beat radio, I think they called it, and that was like a just all dance music station. Anyway, and I had a pretty good job and a little disposable income, and one of the guys I worked with, like, I told him, you know, it might be kind of fun to do that, and it was a gear guy, and we just found some gear and I bought some gear, and just because I already had, you know, turntables and CD players, and I think we spent like $1,200 and bought a transmitter and just
I forget how it did end up.
I get a letter from the FCC. Yeah,
just a letter. They didn't kick your door in.
No.
You weren't driving through the desert in
very
a Jeep.
Nothing too exciting.
Very non-climactic. I mean, and I was kind of ready to at least have it outside of my
I used to tune into that, though. I did.
Oh, you were close. Yeah, you could have picked it up. Yeah,
there was Hillsiders.
It was funny. You could pick it up in Bayfield. Maybe not that far, but, you know, as long as out over the lake, it would go good. But three blocks over my house, you couldn't hear it just because the way that FM works. But
that's funny. So have you lived on the hillside your whole life? Are you from
my whole Duluth?
Duluth
life, yeah. Well, I lived for a month, almost a year actually at Emerson when I first came. And then bought the duplex I lived in. Lived there for a long time, and then bought the A-frame finally.
But you're from Duluth?
No, I'm from Austin, Minnesota.
Oh, all right. Charlie Parland, right?
Yeah, he and I are native Austin.
And Martin Zeller.
Marty, yep.
And Hormel. Or, Hormel. No, Spam. Spam.
And both.
The Spam Museum.
Oh, like Spam.
Spam.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was just somebody referencing Spam.
No.
It's actually it's a pretty cool museum. I mean, I haven't been to the new one, but the old one is cool, so I'm sure the new one's even better.
Well, I always walked by your house, the A-frame. I think that was always like my odd dream house. Like, that house looks so cool. And then you bought it. I was like, you bought that house.
Well, we were looking at buying something. And so we'd already like been pre-approved, and we were kind of in motion looking at properties when that came on sale. I think we bought it the day or two after it went on the market.
That's a good find.
We seemed like we paid way too much for it, but now I'm happy, I guess.
Well, yeah.
Nothing goes down in there.
Well, and then so we're both living on the hillside, and I just put solar on this year. So but I noticed a post and I don't know anything about this, but you were like, I need some help with a heat pump water heater.
No, heat pump. But they have those as well.
What do you have?
Are we going to talk?
Why not? I'm curious. Yeah, I'm curious about this a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm into a rebate. I love a rebate. So I checked. Our dryer died.
Oh, it's a dryer. Okay, yeah. Heat pump dryer.
And so I went to see if they had any rebates on anything, and I saw heat pump dryer. I'd never, I mean, I understand heat pump technology, but I didn't know they actually have dryer. They're ductless. They don't vent to the outside, and it's our favorite thing.
Where do you drill a hole in the dirt?
No, there's no, it's all self-contained. The air, you know, takes heat from the air, just like a heat pump, you know, and concentrates it and puts it through the clothes. Well, then that air goes through like a separate stage. It's like a dehumidifier. So all that water condenses out and then it pumps it into your sink.
Well, so what is the heat pump part then?
The heat pump is just, it looks like you have some here hanging on the outside of the building maybe, or?
Oh, those are old broken air conditioners.
Well, yeah, the heat pumps now, they can move heat either direction. So you can make air conditioning in the summer, but you can also draw heat because there's heat in air always, but it condenses it down through compression. And
interesting. I mean, we have an all-in-one washer dryer that is super efficient, and it doesn't. It's
does
ventless.
That vent to the outside? Or?
It just doesn't vent. I don't know what happens.
Okay, so that's the same thing. That's
it
heat pump.
It just drips the water down the.
Yeah, that's a heat pump.
Huh.
So yeah, you.
I have one then.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! It said it uses half the energy and half the water, and
yeah,
there was a scratch and dent one for $500, so I bought it.
Jeez, jealous.
What's great, though, is if you're like me, if you only wash your clothes maybe like once a month or something like that, I always forget I'm doing it. And then I remember it like 2 weeks later and my clothes are all moldy. So then I've washed my clothes so many times, two or three times before they get to the dryer. So this was like, I have not molded a load of laundry ever since. And so, I mean, it's amazingly more efficient than my old method.
Yeah, heat pump, I highly recommend them. They take a little bit longer.
Yeah, they take a long time.
But yeah, ours is actually not that bad. But
and you forget what it is. It's like, what's that? Because it sits and thinks, and then it turns a little bit. And well, that's so funny. I was like, heat pump dryer. I was like, I'm thinking heat pumps. Don't you have to like drill way down and get to the earth?
Oh,
you know, oops, sorry.
That sounds...
It's another kind of heat pump, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was imagining.
It's no wonder you're wondering about it.
I know.
Boy, that sounds like a massive
project. Lot of work for a dryer, yeah.
We neander. We don't really have a...
No.
So the whole reason we even do the podcast is, well, because I wanted to try to put music online in a different way, and Terry's like, you can't do that, but you should still do the podcast. And so he's like, I'm like, but how? And he's like, well, just conversations about... Yeah. The community of the cafe. And I was like, okay. So then we just start this list of all the fun people, Karin Kramer, you know, and so, and to me, you're definitely one of the longest fun community friends that we've.
Well, yeah, known. not only for being here so early on at this cafe, but also, I mean, as the originator of Homegrown, somebody who, and your radio show, center your time around supporting local artists, the local music scene, and I think that's worth highlighting.
Yeah, I should be pointed out that I only did the first six or seven. I can't remember now. So
and it started as a birthday party.
I'd read six.
I think it was six. Yeah, I was working on the seventh, and I'm like, can't do this.
I remember
anymore.
That time. That was a weird year.
Not a good organizer. I tried to do everything on my own, and as things got bigger, you can't do it on your
own. Well, and then you got people and feelings and emotions.
Oh, yeah. I mean, kudos to them for,
it's a lot of work. It's become enormous.
Yeah, at least, I mean, they seem like they have a really great system now and kind of...
Well, it's so interesting because is it 25, 26? What
26
year? 26. So, I mean, well, just to say... A good portion of the staff that works at the cafe weren't even around. So it's like, that's what's interesting too. It's like there's like literally a whole generation of people that they've never heard of the Black Labels or, you know, it's like all these iconic bands of the day.
They've got their own Black Labels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to give the mayor's speech this year because our new mayor isn't coming. And
isn't coming.
So, long story.
Huh.
He's not participating. So they asked me to do it, and I'm not a great public speaker. I mean, it'd be more fun. Maybe we should just set up on stage and
pre-record. You could pre-record it, and then you could lip sync it. There was a band that did that at a show one time. They handed out all these like little clippings of articles from like Cosmopolitan, and in between songs, I'd hit play, and I'd play these pre-recorded things of them reading little snippets of these articles, and they would lip sync them with a flash, and a light would go on them, and it was so funny and so surreal. Oh, I think that would be really cool.
All right,
pre-recorded and then lip sync it. I think that would be awesome.
You know, we have the technology.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've been. I asked Don and Emily if they would come up with me. I thought, well, I'll bring the old mares up, and they both agreed. And then I just realized, no, I need to do this on my own, and so.
Where is it at this year? Is it
Hoops?
Field Hoops. Yeah, yep.
Sort of the,
yep.
I just had to come
on
up
Sunday.
With 5 minutes. Yeah. So coming up this Sunday.
Coming
I better
Sunday.
Start writing.
4 o'clock. Five.
I better check.
Me too.
I know it's in there. Yeah.
I know the first performance is at like 10 or something.
In the morning?
Yeah.
On Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, they do some kids stuff.
Wow.
Early,
that's what it was. Yeah, it was some kids thing. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool. We just had the 1 week live, just got the last show last night. So as soon as that's done, the release, then I think Homegrown. Because it's like, I have to put an end on this before I can get into that.
But I suppose luckily all you have to do is show up and perform.
Oh, for Homegrown?
Yeah, yeah.
Mostly.
You're not planning that, are you? I mean, you're not involved in...
No, well, I mean, we have three shows here. And,
oh, do you? Oh, so
yeah,
you're involved a little
Wednesday,
bit.
Wednesday,
okay.
Friday, Saturday
okay.
here, yeah.
I suppose, okay.
Three
yeah,
nights,
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, probably because all-age venue.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's
they
hard
can
to find
all the venues.
Yeah. But I love the Homegrown events because we get the early ones. You know, we're starting at like 6 o'clock and...
Yeah,
that's a good time to
it's
start.
Hard to be 1 in the morning. It's like, oh, I really want to see those guys, but I do work at 6 in the morning.
So yeah.
That's the problem.
How much sleep do I need?
I gave up years ago trying to catch
yeah.
every night. Yeah, well.
I still love it though. It's like catch a bunch of new stuff that I don't know because there is quite a few things every year, and I'll be like, what is this? You know, and I love that there's the bios and. I don't know if you're into the local scene. It you know, even having a venue and playing this much, it's there's always so much new stuff.
What do you think? Do you think I'll ask you because people ask me this once in a while? Do you think? I mean, there's all these bands. Do you think there are a lot of people that never would have like tried music without this festival, or would they? All these bands have existed.
Hmm.
I mean, some people are going to make music no matter what.
Duluth is it's got something going on with incubating music for its population to have this many bands in general. And I think it keeps getting more diverse, too. I mean, because I feel like it used to just be kind of like the Artie Quinlan's yeah. rock and roll type stuff, you know, punk basement parties. And then cover bands is what I remember when I moved to town. But maybe I was totally oblivious. But now I feel like there's a jazz scene. There's a... lot of different styles of stuff going on. I don't know. There's jam band scene. There's a pretty substantial metal scene. So I don't know. I feel like...
Yeah, I don't think you can say Duluth has a sound at all anymore.
Not so much. I don't think so. No, I mean, people argue it's, you know, bluegrass trampled by turtles sound. But there's a moment where that was definitely a prevailing wind, but I don't think it's a stuck sound in any way at this point.
It seems to be kind of almost, if anything, based on the venue you're going to, what you're
yeah.
going to listen to.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, which I think is probably better. I don't know.
If anything,
know, but...
just the brewery scene is changing the sound.
That has helped a lot, too, having some.
Yeah.
Because they can afford to maybe. I mean, they can afford to have the music. I mean, I guess I don't know what.
There's
like,
a little more.
Just strictly, if you're trying yeah. to open just a music venue, that it's a tough road.
It is a tough road.
But if you have a successful like business selling beer.
Yeah.
And have the room for yeah. a stage.
But then again, too, if you're trying to have a music style that fits with drinking beer, and when you think of like a lot of punk clubs, even like early days 7th Street Entry and R.T. Quinlan's, you know, I mean, all these bands really had to build up their fan base to pack this bar to actually make it, you know, where it's like there's less of those venues now, I think, and more breweries. So you're probably not going to have a lot of screamo or really stage diving punk, you know, I mean, it's like because when I moved to town, there was a lot more stage diving punk type things going on, which I can understand not wanting to do those shows because people get hurt and
wait, when
bleed.
Did you move here? What year?
I bought my house in 95 and moved
okay,
up here.
So
yeah.
I'm a little bit, I think it was 92 when I
okay,
came.
Yeah, but those years, like I started coming up here in maybe 93 and hanging out, and the Blues Fest was always here, and there was, you know, there's Bayfront, but I mean, all everything's expanded unbelievably, I
yeah.
think, since
I mean, yeah, because even well, Homegrown started out as your birthday party, right?
Yeah, the The first one was just...
And 10X.
The first, really, the genesis of it was my 30th birthday. Okay. So my 31st birthday was the first homegrown.
Okay.
Because the 30th birthday was so much fun. And we're like, oh, we should, you know, we should do it again and have all the bands in Duluth play, which were about 10 at the time.
And so nowadays it's more like 200. So
I don't even remember.
I don't think they let quite that many because it just gets to be there.
I kept reading that over and over again. 175, 190, 200.
Yeah, I think they've been years with more. It kind of seems to... They definitely, there's a number that's manageable. Yeah.
The whole music scene in Duluth, no matter what, is, I think, it has to have grown immensely, I think, because I just don't imagine there's a bunch of bands that were just hiding out houses.
So I think Homebrew, it gave people permission to just try. You know, they're not going to be professional musicians or, you know. Gave a venue to, you know, get on stage once a year or something.
And it probably spurred things like Kamikaze and Ides of March and all these other, you know, the Sacred Heart does whatever the next artist, you know, all these other community-like events, I think, probably grew out of Homegrown.
Homegrown once a year isn't enough.
It's not enough, no.
Well, yeah, right. If you're a musician who wants to keep playing music, you're going to have to try to find more places to do that.
I kind of like the clique of people that surround each one of those events, too. Like, if you go to one of the Duluth Does events, that's a specific group of people.
Yeah.
Or, you know, kind of a chunk that all do everyone. And Kamikaze is like its own group of people.
And I know there's got to be a punk house scene. I mean, I know Dirt Bike Boyfriend would be in the know more than me, but... But I'm sure there's a current day Alibi the Alibi? Was that it?
I don't remember that.
There's all these, you know, the basement punk house, you know, until you get evicted. Then the name stays the same. It goes to a new house or whatever.
One band that's coming to mind right now is Roadside Casino.
Yeah.
I've seen them around a fair bit. Yep.
They're doing their tour kickoff show here coming up actually in June.
Oh, that's exciting.
Or maybe coming
up. Russo's plug right there. Right?
Yeah.
When do we do the ads? Do we get to read some ads?
You can do an ad.
Anything you want to promote?
Do you have any old T-shirts left from your screen printing days?
I actually do have. I have a couple T-shirts left. They're all like double or triple X. You know, that's the size you never sell out of. I have some. Remember the Boogeyman project we did at the North Shore?
Yeah.
One year we made glow in the dark shirts. That's actually. I should see if I can.
I
sell
love
that
those glow in the dark shirts. I think it's probably a very toxic chemical, but I have an Eerie Arc glow in the dark shirt that still glows like from 15 years ago. It's like, what is in that shirt that still glows? I'll be walking down a dark hallway and I'm like, what's happening? I'm like, oh, I have this shirt on.
It's buzzing, glowing.
It's so cool.
So screen printing business, and then Homegrown for a little while. You radio DJ at KUMD or the North or you know, whatever, depending on where you are in time. And I've also saw you were quilting or maybe are quilting.
Still do. I mean, yeah, a little less. I had like a crazy couple of years and I still make them.
Keep busy.
Wait for a good idea. Yeah, I have... In fact, I recently decided on my tombstone I wanted to just say he had a lot of hobbies. He never mastered anything, but he had a lot of hobbies.
Yeah. And then
keeps
also,
it fresh.
I mean, you started Perfect Duluth Day. Is that
that was the same time roughly as Homegrown. Well, it's not as old as Homegrown, but all these things sort of like they all have a common genesis. Like it's something that's sort of in the news. Like blogs were kind of in the news,
and
community web blogs were really fun. And this is pre-Facebook, and the Perfect Duluth Day name was just kind of floating around in my head. So Barrett Chase and I
kind of forget that was your thing because now it's been Lunt or not Lunt,
Paul Lundgren kept it going. Yeah, it's you know that times it's not. Every once in a while, I'm like, why don't you? Just
I remember
have, like,
the stickers way back though.
Yeah, the stickers they still have those, but. Yeah, a lot of my fun things, like something in common, like it's something that's sort of kind of popular, and then like I'll come up with a good name, and the Perfect Duluth Day is a good name.
It is, yeah.
And like someone else to like go into it with me. Like Barrett took the techie end of it, and you know, we just set it up. And
Park Point is for lovers.
Park Point is for lovers, yeah, I stole that name, yeah.
What is that?
I don't know.
Oh, it was a t-shirt I made.
Oh, it was like a sticker or something, yeah.
That's a good shirt.
It is a good shirt.
Being a non-native, do you think there is something about, I seem to ask this to everybody, something about Duluth in particular that makes it any of your work better or worse? Or does the area affect you, do you think? Or do you think you're having more of an effect on the area?
winters definitely affect you, I feel like. You know, like,
in a good way or bad way?
It's year to year. Winter, I don't mind until, like, you know, April, March, April, May. This year's been obviously way different, but sometimes it gets a little long, you know, or even in June when it's like 85 in Minneapolis and like 45 here in foggy. That's trying.
I really do love the cool foggy days of Duluth and,
yeah, you have
and
to
the
just
long
sort of
winters
embrace it.
And lots of snow.
All right, belong here.
I do too.
I only used my plow truck once this year. Like, what?
Yeah, I like the permission to just sort of be inside and hunker down and pick up a project.
I miss the old days of when places would stay open and you would snowshoe or cross country ski down to the brew house or something. In a snowstorm.
Yeah, I wish we'd have had that last big storm we had. I wanted it to be like 20% bigger.
Yeah,
it wasn't quite bigger. Wasn't quite
like stuck in your house and
the walk in a blizzard.
Yeah.
To the open bars.
Yes, survival mode.
Now, I was agreeing with you guys, and now I think I'm on a different page now. I don't see.
Well, just because there was camaraderie, like you roll up in that day. The brew house was not so much a bar as like a, it was a different scene. You know, I mean, it was a music venue, and I mean, it literally, you could come down in 2 feet of snow, the hallway of Fitker's would be full of ski gear. And,
oh, right. I remember
you know,
this.
And people are all sweaty from coming in from the snow and fogged up from all the moisture and melting snow. It was like a, I don't know.
It was a vibe.
It was a vibe.
Yeah.
Kind of a smelly vibe, but a locker room vibe, but a good one. I also have to point out, you know, because when I opened this place and probably when we first started hanging out a little bit, I came from like, you know, more punk, rock, ska. So you're I would say, one of the main people that turned me on to alt country.
Uh-huh.
And Clem Snide played here.
Oh, yeah.
And the day I broke my collarbone, so I'm doing sound for Clem Snide, can barely stay standing up. But I would say Uncle Tupelo, you turned me on to all this, you know, Sunvolt. And I love that style of music. It's probably what ended up playing with Sarah Softitch and that whole Americana scene. And Robbie opened for Robbie Falls. And I had nothing to do with that scene. I came from the country, and I was like, I hate country music. and I was like, wait, this is a different kind of country music.
Yeah, I love when a punk act crosses over into
cowpunk.
Country.
Yeah, that's, and I got to play in the Brandidos, and yeah, it's like.
Yeah, honestly, I remember, way back then, like Uncle Tupelo and everything, I thought that it would sort of have its time and kind of, you know, maybe fizzle out, but man, it's just been going strong. And like,
I listen
so
to
diverse.
That
yeah.
all the time still. I always want to pull up Uncle Tupelo and Sunvolt. I you know, Jayhawks too, but especially Uncle Tupelo. Like, that just has this punky, gritty, I don't know.
Story about Uncle Tupelo is, like, I was a huge, and still am a huge, Gear Daddies fan.
Yeah, and
because they're from
the
my
Gear
hometown.
Daddies.
Yeah. And when they broke up, like, I was devastated. Like, oh, no, they're breaking up. But they had a show in Austin at the fairgrounds, and one of the acts opening up for them was Uncle Tupelo. And that was, like, when
opening
they were still—
Opening for the Gear Daddies.
Yeah,
wow.
And they were still kind of on their rise. They hadn't—
That's cool.
And I was just like, oh, my God. They just blew me away. I went and, like, bought all their CDs the next day. And, like, so it's funny how from the death of one thing can lead you to something else. But then, of course, the Gear Daddies still play. So
yeah. I love the Gear Daddies. I love the 3 Day Vacation in the Dells tune. I don't know why. Yeah. It's like that one's always pops in my head.
Load the car, board the dog, head down Interstate 94, something like that. Yeah, that's a good song. I finally got to meet Martin because I did an interview with him before his solo
release. I heard that
interview.
Yeah. I was like, this sounds live. I'm like, it was on the North.
Yeah, yeah.
I called him.
He lives in Mexico, and I called him at his house. And we did the phone interview.
He's talking about his son and the new record.
Son
I'm like,
produced
I'm like,
this
it is and
Scott. Recorded it.
It's like, what is this? Is this now? Modern?
Nice. Yeah. What a nice guy.
He's super. So nice. He played here once, and it was great. Him and Charlie Parr. That was like the Austin boys, I guess. You know, that was.
Yeah, he's even got me thinking about moving down to Mexico. He's lived there for quite a while.
That'd be a change of pace.
Some good food.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Got to sneak a little food in every podcast.
Well, it's important. We all got to eat.
You like to cook, too.
We cook a lot, yeah. We roast our own coffee.
Wow.
That's true. And you make your own sourdough.
Got the sourdough, yeah. Yeah. It's like more in the winter, obviously, but
You roast your own coffee. Where do you source the green beans?
Sweet Maria's out of Oakland, California.
Okay, I don't know, but that's good.
Yeah, no, we like it because you can get lots of different kinds, so you're never like drinking the same.
And did you make your roaster? Do you buy a roaster?
We bought a roaster. It's a Bemar roaster. Yeah, we've been roasting for like 15 years.
Is it like not a 1 pound roaster? It must be.
Yeah, you could do a pound.
You can do a whole pound.
Yeah.
So you vented? You have a vented roaster?
Well, we put it underneath our vent in the
your
stove.
Oven?
And it's got like an afterburner thing in it. So it kind of burns off some of the smoke. I mean, it definitely has a, you know when you're roasting for sure.
But
we just have to roast like once a week, you know, maybe twice.
Do you go dark? You go light?
No, we like really first
light?
Crack, you know, city. Ethiopians like are just my...
Sadamo or Yurgachev?
I can't remember at all. Yeah, I mean, they get a lot of different...
I love Ethiopian. I would say Ethiopian is my favorite coffee. Natural Ethiopian. Yurgachev, but Sadamo.
Blueberry. Fruity. Man.
I would say that's my favorite coffee. That's why I have it in my house right now. I won't say who it's from because I have too many coffee friends.
And it's one of them.
But it's a natural Ethiopian and it's delicious.
It's your favorite friend who is...
No. But we should get him on the podcast.
Yeah. But we won't tell you when. You never know.
We'll have to take a picture. We'll have to get a little picture. We have one other guest in the studio tonight, and it's Gus.
Gus?
Dottie.
What? Dottie?
Dottie is her name. Yeah.
Dottie?
How did you get Gus?
I thought you said Gus.
Oh. Well, they're close.
Well, I never was good at names.
Dottie.
Or spelling. Dottie.
Yeah, no, she's just Gus? Asleep on the carpet here.
Well, Dottie's 17 and very sweet, sweet friend down here. Probably like, when's dinner? Where's my walk?
She eats once a day in the after 5.
Well, it's been a blast. I think, I don't know, any other fun ideas or hopes and dreams, thoughts?
I just want to retire.
Retire?
Same here.
I don't know if I want to retire.
Well, I'll do stuff. I just want to like not have to be anywhere at any special time. My father never ceases to remind me that he retired at 55, which is how old I am now.
Oh, wow.
And,
Thanks, he's Dad.
Like, this is that last of a generation where, you know, sort of a pension. You put in a certain amount of time and you're done and you get paid the rest of your life. Health care taken care of. And
what did he do?
He worked for the city of Austin, utility company.
Wow. He got to retire at 55.
And how old is he now?
He's 75. So he's been retired for 20 years. So he's actually had a real retirement.
God, that city is like... We can't do this pension stuff anymore.
That's so they don't do it anymore. Save your own money.
Well, yeah, because, you know, back in the early days, you know, it's like, all right, you can retire because you're going to die in 4 years. So.
Yeah.
You know, but
you can retire at 55 because you're going to be dead by 60.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of people end up, they hit that retirement and then they just like get something and they're gone. Sounds awful.
No, I also think, you know, some people retire and they have almost like 4 more jobs that they've always wanted to do.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they just, like, they're almost busier, but
And that's fine. I don't mind being busy.
Yeah, that's the difference, I think. But also some people just like their work and their community at work and their friends are all at work and then they retire and they're like, uh-oh. Be with this significant other now, and I don't really have any hopes and dreams. And you could just see it sometimes, like, oh no.
They're just twiddling their thumbs for 40 years. But with all that you've already done in your retirement, what do you think you'd get up to? Like, what are your future?
I don't know.
Future artistic goals or whatever.
Kind of think I would be kind of fun to for a while, or maybe just like 4 weeks on, 4 weeks off, like do the van life thing.
Oh, van life.
I don't think I'd want to full time it, but like be able to like for 3 weeks we're gonna go, you know, no real plan, just sort of zigzag around. Or
I like that without the van. I think I had enough van life. So
well, bigger van, you know, those comfortable vans.
I don't know. I'd rather be like
Airstream life,
like a week in a tent and then like a hot tub. Sweet, you know, so like hard one way, hard the other. And like the spots where you park those vans and the people around, it's like I'd rather just like be in a town with good food and like live it up and then go farther into the woods and
all right.
A little deeper maybe.
Or a hotel with a hot tub.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of. I don't really love
public
hot tubs actually.
Oh, no.
I mean, I say that, but not really. But maybe hot springs.
There you go.
Natural hot springs.
Have you ever been to one?
I love hot springs. Oh, I've like booked whole tours around hot springs and tried to get like off day shows like at hot springs where we can stay there and play some kind of show and get to stay there for free and get, you know, it's like it's a Tuesday. What the heck?
If you ever go to Costa Rica, they have like this one area where they have all these resorts built.
I have been there. Oh, man. I've actually been to, yeah, because Brandon used to live by La Fortuna up in the cloud forest. And
that's where
I went there for 3 weeks and hung out and walked up this 3 mile dirt road. Everyone's got mud boots and machetes. And but then you go to this American land where everything's like, it's like Duluth prices and these hot springs.
The resorts. And then,
it's just like
all the different temperature pools. It was
It's cool. It's very cool. It's, yeah. My old favorite little spot is two in Montana, Norris Hot Springs, Water of the Gods. It's an old mining camp hot springs, and they have a plexiglass yurt, and they have live music, and they have a greenhouse with thermal, and they grow all these like greens, and they have salads, and they have like local bison. You get a bison burger with a local salad, and get some food, and then soak in the hot springs. And there's music. It's like $7, and you can camp there.
Oh, jeez!
It's on the Madison River, which is also the Boiling River. But then, if you want to live it up a little more, you can go down south of Livingston to Chico Hot Springs, and they have it's been there for over 100 years, and they have a big pool, and you know it's. Just soak under the stars, look at the mountains, and
That sounds incredible.
I like Pagosa Springs is really nice. That's out in Colorado, kind of by Salida area.
Yeah, you need to lead tours, hot spring tours.
Yeah, Taos, New Mexico has a bunch.
We should take this show on the go. That's what we should do.
I do love hot springs. Because I don't like chlorine, but I love hot water.
Yeah, the fresh,
you know? I feel guilty like running a bath. That's like, that's so much water.
I know.
But this water is already hot and it's there. So.
I don't feel guilty enough, but I'll do it anyway.
There's a spot in Utah, Monroe Hot Springs. I think they changed the name, but this old hippie started it and he used to tour with the Dead and did a bunch of acid. And he used to be a film guy. So he would like have bands come and you'd film them. And I played there once and like two people came. It's like in a super Mormon area. And we stayed there and we hung out. We had breakfast with him, and he would just took the natural hot springs and like made trenches, and it would flow into old clod tub bathtubs, and you just jump in a bathtub, hanging out. Those hot in the hiking ones, but now I want to go to the hot springs.
All right,
let's go west.
Let's go right now.
You know, I'd never put much thought into hot springs, but now I also would really like to go.
It's worth it.
Sounds like
you got to go west. So I'm like, does Alabama have any hot springs? No. No, there's mineral springs, but that was the craze in the turn of the century, but not. Mm. It's kind of a hoax.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Happy birthday. When is your real birthday?
May 7th.
Oh, that's right. It is.
It's 56 this
May
year.
May 7th.
Mm. That's a respectable time.
Probably older than
time.
Your father, I imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Hey, that happens to me all the time.
I do have young parents, though. It's worth noting. My parents
I had young parents.
They were in their early 20s when they had me.
Yeah,
so.
My parents were 19 when they had me. So.
Yeah.
And as you get older and older, you feel like even closer to their age. Like that 20 years is like nothing when you're in your 50s or 60s.
It is weird.
Oh, are you performing anywhere else besides Homegrown that people should know about?
Yeah, we're playing one of those Glensheen on the Pier shows.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
You've done those, haven't you?
I know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a bad pusher.
No, we didn't even, I know, we're the same way. We don't ask if they've reached out.
We say
out,
yes
like,
if we can, but I don't be like, hey. I don't even know who's doing it anymore.
Yeah, so I'm excited about July 3rd. We're going to.
That's okay. So cool. See, July 3rd? That's a great day to do it.
Yeah, I hope so. It's like a midweek July 4th, so.
Yeah.
That should, yeah.
Some people will be gone. Some people will be here.
I'll be here.
I think I'll be here too.
Wednesday the 3rd.
Yeah, and perfect. I normally, that's our radio show night, so.
You could broadcast live.
Oh. Yeah, maybe we should.
Yeah, give that a whirl.
Fire up the old random radio gear.
Yes. Do you still have any of that equipment anymore?
I do have it all, actually. And I have a friend, I don't know if you know Jer and Annie. Jer is sort of a, you can fix anything. Like a I was going to, because it kind of broke down over time, and I think you could just go through it and make it work again.
A little solder here and there.
Say solder controls.
Output amp.
Yeah.
I say that like I know. I don't.
Yeah,
I don't. I know the word solder, too.
Yeah.
Dotsy, you ready to go?
Oh, yes.
Dotsy, sorry I called you Gus.
Yeah. That's a good dog. Yeah.